So there was a well-known and somewhat famous in the right circles research study carried out by a Stanford University researcher back in the 60s looking at the ability of children to exercise self-control and delay gratification. And the way they did this was they took a marshmallow and they put it on the table in front of these kids and they said, okay, it's up to you. You can eat this marshmallow right now if you want to, but if you wait till I come back and you don't eat it, well then when I get back, I'll give you another one. So one marshmallow now or two later. And as you can imagine, this is pretty tough for kids, and I think we got a video queued up of this recreation.
Okay, sit in that chair. All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow, for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one. So then you'll have to. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay?
Okay.
All right. So I'm gonna leave and then I'll come back, okay? So you can either eat it right now or you can wait. Either way, okay? Okay. How'd you do? Did you do good? You did? You wanted to eat it, didn't you?
Yeah.
So did I tell you I'd give you another one? Okay, now you can have both. You need them.
I love that little boy who goes to put it in his mouth, right? And then he goes, oh no, and he slaps his head. He's like, I can't do it. But clearly this is really hard for kids, right? They want that second marshmallow. But to have that one right there that they got to stare at for, in the original research study, it was 10 to 15 minutes without eating it. That's really tough. The reason the researchers were doing all of this is because the ability to delay gratification is a crucial skill in our world, and it's one of the best predictors of success later in life, actually. In fact, the researchers found that children who had developed this skill of delaying gratification at a young age were more likely to score higher on standardized tests down the road, had better health, and were less likely to develop behavior problems. And this sort of makes sense, right? I mean, think about an athlete or a musician. It takes talent to succeed, yes, but it also takes a lot of work, right? A lot of practice. And nobody just loves to practice all the time. But if you can put in that time, if you can work for something, delay the immediate pleasure for a goal that you're working toward, well, you're much more likely to succeed, right? Delayed gratification is all about living now for a different time and a different reality. It's about working now for something you can't see yet, but that you know will be worth it in the end. And that's really what Jesus is talking about here in the sixth chapter of Luke. He says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and exclude you and revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. Jesus is talking about living now for a different reality. It's a delayed gratification. There's been this crowd of folks we hear about in Luke's words, looking for healing, pushing in around Jesus. But before Jesus launches into what we know as the Beatitudes, these blessed are you series of things here, before he launches into that, in Luke's account, he looked up at his disciples. So it seems like that's who he's talking to, right? Not the crowd, but the ones who have committed to following him. And he's telling them, look, you may be poor now, having left your boats and your nets to follow me, but you are blessed, for yours is the kingdom of God. You may have to deal with the tears and the exclusion that comes from being my disciple, but you will laugh and rejoice in that day. This unpleasantness that comes from following me, Jesus tells them, it's not permanent. This is just how the world treats prophets who tell truths that the world does not want to hear. Which all sort of flies in the face of the way some preachers on TV and some self-help megachurches preach the gospel, right? There's this notion put out there that if you'll just give your heart to Jesus and just put your money in the plate, then you'll receive blessings in return tenfold in this life, right? But that's actually not the way Jesus ever talks about things. In fact, he goes out of his way to let his followers know that if they want to follow him, what they can expect is hardship, persecution, the cross even. I mean, he literally tells them that, right? And he says riches are actually what the world gives to the false prophets, the ones who tell the people what they want to hear with no regard for the truth that Jesus brings. And woe to them for valuing the things of this world above the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, in our baptism, God has joined us to Jesus and promised us eternal life. And that promise for us comes with a calling to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus in living now for a reality that we can't always fully see yet. To follow Jesus now in working for the values of a kingdom that is breaking into the world as we speak, but isn't all the way here yet. In the verses that follow our reading today from the sixth chapter of Luke, Jesus will get really explicit about what this looks like to follow him. And we'll hear those verses next week, so I'm not going to jump to that just yet. But if you're just so full of suspense, you can keep reading in the sixth chapter of Luke. But basically, it boils down to this. Self-sacrificing love lived out in action, in words and deeds for the sake of a hurting world. And in the short term, following Jesus, at least according to Jesus, will likely leave us poorer, hungrier, and more full of tears, more likely to be excluded and reviled than we would have been if we were just looking out for ourselves. That's what Jesus says, but it will also leave us blessed. Because it's not the short term that we're called to live for, it's the kingdom of God. Because at our core, we know the truth. Jesus got killed over this way of self-sacrificing love, but he was also raised. And if God has decided that the dead do not have to stay dead, well, then everything changes. Claimed and called by God, it's that kingdom of the resurrection that we live for, with every action of love we take, making this world a little bit more the kingdom of God. And on that day, when we see the kingdom in its fullness, we will leap for joy, and surely the reward is great, the fullness of abundant life. But actually, we don't have to wait completely for that abundant life. That abundant life starts now and every moment that we live it, Abundant life starts now when we follow Jesus, because in fact, abundant life is and happens where Jesus is. This is what we live for. The kingdom of God that we can't always see, but that we profess, that's what matters. The reality that Christ is risen and Christ will come again. That's what it's about for us. We live it now and we trust, we believe, and we hope in that day when we see it in its fullness. Thanks be to God. Amen.